join today's message, already in progress. It's through recognizing His goodness that we connect to Him in truth, and we drink in His love when we recognize that He is a good God, and that we can trust Him, and that He loves us, and that He wants good for us, and that He is the only wise God, perfect in wisdom. We're all imperfect in wisdom. We all have a bit of wisdom here and a bit of wisdom there, and some more than others. But He knows everything. Everything. Everything about each one of us. It boggles the mind to think of how vast. You can't think of how vast He is. You can only look on in wonder. It goes on forever. He goes on forever. There's no beginning and there's no end. And even in a finite space, say take a foot of length, He's still infinite within that, because He can always see something smaller and smaller and smaller. It's like getting a higher powered microscope upon a higher power microscope. So even when we think we've got it really good, you tune the microscope in a little closer and you can begin to see more imperfections. And so you fix those imperfections in ourselves or in our outlook of things, even our faith, even our doctrines and our belief systems, the way we view Scripture. You get a more high-powered microscope and you tune it in a little closer and, oh, there's more imperfections. It's infinite that way. So, where's our pride? We have no place for pride because we're always going to find another layer of imperfections in our thinking and our understanding. And we're always going to understand at a deeper level if we're humble enough to hear. That's about the hardest thing I find for people to do, us people to do, is to humble ourselves. And that's also the key to, you know, we approach God with thankfulness, but then we also have to be humble in calling Him the only wise God and me just a beginner. No matter how smart we get, we have to consider ourselves just a beginner. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, compared to Him, we're just a beginner. But how freeing that is. Because God is the one who has it all under control. See, we don't have to have it under control. The only thing we need to control is our own spirits, our own hearts, and put everything else in God's hands. There's a sense in which we are to, you know, be in control over our children. But let's not treat adults that way. we train up a child, and so we teach them through life. They still have to make the decision to obey mommy or daddy. We can't really make someone's heart obey. We can prevent them from doing something. We can hold a person, but to change a person's heart, they have to perceive that we love them. Or they may obey us, but that doesn't change their heart. If we are trying to change them with our being bigger than them, they may obey us, but on the inside, they may resent us, and as soon as they get old enough, turn away from us. We need to constantly be asking God for wisdom in training up our children in the way that they should go. But that wasn't what I was planning on speaking. Actually, what I was planning on speaking changed when I heard Martha's last song, Victory in Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus. Through most of my life, I would have a victory here and there. But for most of my life, I was a defeated Christian, held under the bondage of sin I didn't want to do, but found myself doing anyway. How do you overcome the flesh? That's a big question, and it deserves a good answer. Not just a pretentious answer. Sometimes we can put on a smile and act like we got it all together, but then that very night, we can't control our own thinking. We want to have real victory, not just putting on airs. I found answers to having real victory. To taking my thoughts captive. It used to be too hard for me to take my thoughts captive. They overpowered me. It was like in the book of Judges, how I was just reading last night, in the book of Judges, how the Canaanites, this king had 900 iron chariots. And the children of Israel, who had wandered away from God again and did evil in the sight of the Lord, well, God raised up these Canaanites so they'd be too difficult for the children of Israel. So the only hope they had was then to cry out to the Lord. And they would repent, and God would give them a deliverer. I think this time it was Othniel was their judge who delivered them. And they overcame. The Lord went in and fought for them, and they overcame the enemy. The army that came against them with 900 chariots, iron chariots. This gives us a picture in our life. How do we overcome an enemy that never sleeps? Puts thoughts in our heads. And the thoughts seem to have a power source behind them. Well, I found that the power source was in my own heart, a wounded heart that I had. where the little baby inside of me was full of anxiety and a desperate need to be loved. I think I've shared this before, but the Lord directed me again to this, hearing that song about victory in Jesus. God sent us a deliverer, and we need to face our woundings from the past hurts. We need to be able to face those without fear. And even if we are afraid, to face them anyway. God will give us the victory, like He's given me the victory. He can give it to you too. But you have to turn and face the grizzly bears. God will give you the strength. The past hurts that were too hard to even think about. They need to be dealt with, or they're going to remain a power source for your bad behavior until you do. God showed me with mine how He brought things into my life to shape me into who He wanted me to be, even these woundings. The stumbling blocks in my life, people who hurt me as a baby, as a child, as a teenager, and as an adult, kept me in my woundedness until I faced them and I recognized that God used all of these things to make me who I am. And I decided I like who I am. And that was the first step. Minus all the bad behavior, minus all the bad, my bad reactions to things. Somebody would say something to me, somebody would do something, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere from inside of me, I would trigger, I would react in a bad way, or it'd send me down into the pits of depression. My wife could say two words to me, and I'd go down into depression. I find myself just sinking down. The people who are closest to us have the most power over us to hurt us, because they're the closest to our hearts, and that's where the pain is. And it's that pain that their words remind us of, that original hurt that we had, that sinks us into despair or aggravates us to where we respond with intense anger. These are hard things to deal with. But I found that when I thanked God for the original woundings and recognized that this was purposeful to form me into who He wanted me to be, into a man who can overcome anything and give glory to God in the midst of anything that happens. If everything went all nice for me, what would be the glory in that? Huh. So I talked something about this last week. But I wanted to go on because, let's see, what I talked about last week was People who wouldn't be acting right, and then God brings discipline on them. Well, then, what happens when a person is acting right and bad things happen to him? How is that fair? How is that God's goodness? That isn't right. So I wanted to turn to the book of Job, and I want to read the first two chapters, and I want you to notice it's God who sets up this whole situation. He knows exactly what Satan is going to say. That's why he calls him over. And I want to take note of something to begin with. You see, God is looking at Job, who's a very blessed man. He's the most blessed man in all of the East, it says. All of the men of the East, he was the greatest man, the richest. But then God calls Satan over and says, what do you think of him? He says, yeah, but he's only that way because you've blessed him and you've kept me from touching him and hurting him. If you let me hurt him, he'll curse you to his face, to your face. See, God planned this because Job was blessed according to his faith. Well, Job had pretty good faith. But God wanted to bless him more. God wanted to give Job a greater glory. So he gave him tribulation. And if Job would remain blameless and faithful to God through the tribulation, then God could bless him far more, because that's a far greater glory. I just wanted you to notice that, so I'm going to read it now. Job 1, chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day. And they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning and offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For, Job said, perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Job did this continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. Then Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now, and touch all that he has. he will surely curse you to your face. Then the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So you can touch all that he has, but not his body. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Now on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, The Chaldeans formed three bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head. And he fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Through all this, it says, through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Another translation states that Job did not sin with his lips. The word sin means miss the mark. Job did not miss the mark, nor did he blame God in all that he said. Chapter 2. As if this wasn't enough. Again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, Where have you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. The Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil. And he still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me, provoked me, although you provoked me against him to ruin him without cause. Job hadn't done anything worthy of being disciplined in that matter. Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. So the Lord said to Satan, Behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he, Job, took a potsherd to scrape himself while he was sitting among the ashes. A shard from a broken pot, he's scraping the boils that are oozing. Then his wife said to him, Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He did not make a mistake. He did not speak in error. He hit it on the mark. His words were hit right on the mark. He did not sin, did not miss the mark with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, they came each one from his own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. And they made an appointment together to come to sympathize with him and comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes at a distance, and because he looked so distorted they couldn't even recognize him, they raised their voices and wept. And each of them tore his robe and threw dust over their heads toward the sky. Then they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights, with no one speaking a word to him, for they saw that his pain was very great. First, he has everything taken away. His children, his livelihood, his business. And then, his health. And he says, Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? And although this, Job did not sin with his lips. He considered God to be the only wise God, and even though he didn't understand, because the rest of the book is about him arguing with his friends. They were trying to tell him that he must have done something wrong. And he said, No, I haven't done anything wrong to deserve this. But I don't understand why he's doing this. They all recognized that God is God. Yes, God allowed Satan to have his way. But why? If God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, and everything that God does is good, then isn't allowing somebody to do something, isn't that an action? It's like, I think I said this last week, it's like going to the faucet, putting your glass under the faucet, and allowing water to come into the cup. In order to allow the water to come into the cup, you have to turn the handle on the faucet. God opened the faucet of adversity onto Job, but just like Joseph said, when he faced his brothers and told them that he forgave them, he said, yes, you guys meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to bring about a great deliverance for my family. Do you know how God molded Joseph through all that adversity Joseph went through? And Joseph, while maintaining his integrity and being honest and only doing good to people, even though he was not rewarded for his goodness to begin with, he was thrown into prison for maintaining his integrity. This gave Job the opportunity to show God was giving Joseph the opportunity for glory, which he will have with him forever. And Joseph gave God glory when he continued to believe God, even in the face of adversity. There, the Word of God tells us that God meant it, planned it, premeditated it, but it was for good. It brought about the deliverance of his family and made Joseph a shining star throughout eternity, a shining lampstand. How many times don't we read about in the Bible about those who are persecuted for their faith and how in heaven they are lifted and blessed because of it? They are held up as great statements of faith. They're martyrs. In Hebrews, it talks about the people who were sawn in two, boiled in oil, stoned, all these different things. And yet they did not give up their faith. So when God gives us the opportunity, so that's what I did, in order to overcome the things that were causing me to keep seeming to fall back into sin, I had to thank God. Because when we thank God for the things that He's doing in our life for our good, for good, He always has good at heart, even if He allows something harsh and bad to happen to us, it's for our good. So when we thank Him for it, all the anxiety that's associated with that hurt and that wound will disappear when we thank God for it, and love will fill that wound. It'll be filling it with the salve of oil of the Holy Spirit when we thank God for the things that God brings to us. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? The adversity is for our good. When we thank Him for it, we bring love into it, and what once triggered us to do towards acting unbecomingly as a Christian, towards sin because of our wounding, when we thank God for it and consider God to be good even when He gave that to us, it brings love in there, and now that very wounding becomes a source of power for good. So now, in my life, what used to trigger me to anger or to lust or to this or that, now it's turned around. And now I can bless those very people, or people who do similar things, or people whom I see are hurting also with the same woundings that I had. I'm a blessing to them. I don't fear woundings. I don't fear adversity so far. That's what I'm beginning to walk in. Free from anxiety. Free from worry. Each thing that happens to me, I can smile at, because I see, though my perception is that God is giving me a new opportunity to shine like a star in the sky, like the sun. And I will carry that glory with me forever. So when adversity comes, I can laugh at it and smile. And you see, I don't have to worry, because the Lord is my God and He will work it out for my good. He's already got it worked out for my good. He's already got the plan in place. He's just waiting for me to give the right response, which is thankfulness when you encounter various trials, knowing that this trial is coming to make me perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Do you lack this wisdom? Like I said last week, ask of God, and it won't just be an idea that I've just put in your head, but He'll make the reality of it come to life in your spirit so you will really see it. It's not just a way of thinking, but He'll bring it to life in your spirit so you can live that way. And when you live that way, you will be victorious. You can do anything, I'm telling you. I feel like I can do anything now. Without fear. I was sitting in a coffee shop today with a lady who's 20 years my elder, and I kind of think of, she's the only one I think of kind of as a mother. We were sitting having coffee, and this lady comes out. She's pregnant, and she's going to get in her car. We were sitting outside at the coffee shop. It was a warm day. I just had the notion to get up and go over to her as she was getting in her car and say, "Well, wait a minute, before you drive away, my friend and I over there, could we pray for you and your baby?" And she came over, and we had a great time praying for her and her baby. You see, I recognize that God put this person here right at this time so that we could pray for her and her baby. It was an upbuilding to my faith, to hers, to all of us. See, you don't have to be afraid. God knows what He's doing. So I just wanted to pray a blessing on everyone who hears. I pray that the reality of this would get down deep into your soul, down deep and deep and deep into your spirit, and that God would bring to mind past things that have happened to you so that they can quit triggering you for evil, so you can thank God for them, so that those experiences, those little rooms that are sealed off, so that His love can fill those rooms through your thanking Him for it. Love will fill that room as you thank Him for it. And that will be a place of power for good instead of a place of power for evil, dragging you back into shame and misery and defeat. It'll become a place for you to move from in victory, in power, in joy, in strength, in peace, and in love, so that you can walk up to anybody without fear. Say, hey, I have a word from the Lord for you. May I speak it to you? Bless you. Bless you in the name of Jesus. This ends the English hour. Is the next person there who is going to take over for the Amharic hour? Hello, are you there for the Amharic hour? Well, I'm not hearing anybody yet, so I'll just keep praying or talking, whichever the Lord gives me. And whenever the person comes on, just interrupt me at any time. Lord, I thank you. I thank you so much for what you've done in my life. And Lord, I thank you that my mom rejected me at birth. As hard as that was, all through my life, 59 years of pain because of that, I now look at it and say, thank you, God, it was worth it for me to be who I am right now. You see, I will be who I am right now and better throughout eternity. What's 59 little years of heartache? You know, I was 21 years old, and God delivered me then. But I turned back. Turned back foolishly, and my last state was worse than the first. But God in His mercy and by His grace delivered me again. So I can share with everyone else I meet how good God is, how merciful and generous and wonderful and beautiful. And He makes me beautiful from the inside out. My skin may be getting old, but what is that compared to a beautiful spirit of love and faith and joy and peace, of patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness? Did I miss any faithfulness? I don't know. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you brought into my life. Thank you for it all. Every stitch, every bit. You made me strong enough to face the grizzly bears in my life that I've been running away from in my dreams all through my life. I now turn and face them, and I have mastery over them. I have mastery over the grizzly bears. I have mastery over the 900 chariots, iron chariots, by the way. I have mastery over the Goliaths. With God, I can do anything. all things by the power of His Holy Spirit. He sets me as the head and not as the tail. Me. No college degree? Sometimes think that's to my advantage. No, I don't want to say it that way. I don't want to put down anyone who has a college degree. College degrees are great. I've had education. There's nothing wrong with education. It's good. I just don't want to trust in it. I want to trust in the Lord. And let Him use my college degree through my humility. Well, I don't have a college degree, but let Him use any education I've had, any training I've had. I bless You, Lord. I thank You. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to Your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to Your name. Bless You, Lord. The truly wise God. Bless You and praise You in all Your ways. You are righteous and holy and true and just.